The following content is from Shadow Hills Church. For more information, visit our website at www.shadowhills.org.
We've been talking for the past several weeks about daring faith. The Bible teaches us that faith is a muscle. And if you want to increase the strength of your muscle, you have to work it out. Well, think about faith as a muscle. And as a muscle, it has to be stretched, and it has to be stressed, and it has to be strengthened. So we've talked about faith in the midst of a variety of circumstances, faith in the face of problems. Today, I want to talk to you about faith in the middle of fear. Now, everybody has fear. The roughest, toughest, biggest, burliest, meanest, mightiest man among us. I just made all that up. Has fear. Everybody has fear. You remember that Jerry Seinfeld episode where Jerry Seinfeld was talking about, it was a stand-up comedy episode, and he was talking about fears, and he had read where the number one fear of American people is speaking in public. And you know how Seinfeld can go off, and he said, that means if you go to a funeral, and public speaking is the number one fear more than death, that when you go to the funeral, you'd be better off in the casket than standing up giving the memorial. And he said, that just doesn't make sense. Well, it does. If, you know, I've had the worst allergies the last 5 days, and that's one of the reasons I'm sitting here. I'm trying not to get really excited because I start coughing and hacking, and I don't want to do that. So if I did that and I said to you, here are my notes right here. Come up here and stand on this stage and face all these people and preach the sermon. That most of you would say, I'd rather die. Some of you would say, well, it's about time. And frankly, you people scare me a little bit. I read a thing this week that said the more intelligent you are, the more you have fear. And for those of you who are kind of sitting out there right now thinking, well, that's not me. I'm not afraid of anything. It's probably because you're not the brightest bulb in the bunch, you know, because we're all afraid of different things. Well, I want to talk about faith in the middle of this fear, and I want to use a Bible story that most of us are very, very familiar with. It's about Peter. You know, Jesus told Peter, from now on, you're not going to be Peter, you're going to be Rock. You're going to be Rock Johnson. His name was Peter Bar-Jonas, which means Peter, son of John. And he said, I'm going to call you Rocky, son of John. And you remember that Jesus had told the disciples to get in the fishing boat. They had been out ministering all day. And Jesus said to the disciples, get in the boat and go on across the Sea of Galilee, and I'll join you a little bit later. And you know what happened out there. Now, some of these disciples, not all of them, but some of them were seasoned fishermen. They had sailed on the Sea of Galilee a lot, and storms didn't usually frighten them. But this seems to be an unusual storm. If you've ever been to the Sea of Galilee, honestly, there are some places out at Lake Mead that remind me of the Sea of Galilee. Because there are some places at the lake where the mountains are so close and they're barren. And that's what Galilee, the mountains on the other side of the Sea of Galilee, look like. They look like Sunrise Mountain, honestly. One of them is Mount Horeb, where Moses went up and got to see the Promised Land, even though he never got to set foot in the Promised Land. And the Sea of Galilee, the winds would come off of those mountains down onto the Sea of Galilee, and they would cause ferocious storms. Now, for Peter and James and John and those who were fishermen, they had been in those storms before, and they'd experienced that, but this seems to be the perfect storm. I mean, it really came together, and it was shaking everybody up. And there are three things that I look at in the life of these apostles as they are in the boat on the sea, in the storm, three things that I could point out that they lost. First of all, they lost their security. The Bible says they were far away from land. Now, if they'd been 20 or 30 or 40 feet from the land, they would have still been secure, because even in a storm, you could probably swim 30 feet to shore. But they lost their security because their security is the boat, and the boat is being beaten and battered by the waves, and they think it's going to sink. And I thought about them, and I thought, you know, that's true of me too. That in the middle of a storm, I lose my security. I lose the security in what I trust. I read this past week about a couple who had fallen in love, and they had been dating. They were going to get married. And you know how lovers just talk every once in a while, and they say things without thinking of things. And she looked at him, and she said, you know, you are the number one person, the number one thing in my life. Now, they were both Christians, and he looked at her and he said, oh, honey, don't make me the number one most important thing in your life, because if you do, I'm going to disappoint you. I'm going to let you down. I've tried to tell you as your pastor, don't ever set me up on a pedestal, because I will fail you. Don't make me important in your life, because I'll let you down. And this young man looked at his intended, who was going to be his bride, and he said to her, you make Jesus number one in your life, and then I'll fit in wherever I need to. And they built their marriage on that. You know who I read that testimony about? His name is Pence, and he is the vice president of these United States of America. And their marriage has lasted because he had sense enough to say to his wife, don't put your security in me. Honey, I'm going to take care of you, but don't put your security in me. Let's put our security in Jesus. They also lost their stability. You ever been out on a boat, deep sea fishing, and that boat gets rocking by the waves? Man, you lose stability real quick. I'll never forget the first time I went deep sea fishing. We sailed out under the Golden Gate Bridge. Now, when we got on that boat at Pier 39, I thought it was a pretty big boat. But when we sailed underneath the Golden Gate Bridge and out of the bay of San Francisco, I realized what a little podunk vehicle that was. And we got out there, and we would get on top of a wave, and I'd be looking way down at the water down there. Then all of a sudden, we were down in the bottom, and I'd be looking up at the waves up there. And there's no stability in something like that. The most stable person on the boat was the person hanging over the side puking. Because they hold it on tight, you know. But you lose not just your security, you lose your stability in problems. Problems have a way of shaking us loose. And we lose that stability in the middle of it. Things begin to change in our life, and we don't know what we can stand on anymore. It doesn't seem like there's any firm ground. And then they lost their sight. I don't mean they lost their eyesight, but the Bible says this is 3 o'clock in the morning. You know what it is at 3 o'clock in the morning? It's dark 30. You can't see anything. And when we get into a storm in our life, the same thing happens to us. The same thing happens to us, that we can't see what's going to happen. We don't know where we need to go. We don't know the steps that we need to take. And we lose the visibility, and we get filled with fear. And we lose our stability, we get filled with fear. We lose our security, we get filled with fear. What makes the difference in this story? Well, in verse 26, Jesus makes an appearance. And what's funny is the disciples look out there and they say, it's Jesus. No, that's not what they said. They said, it's a ghost. A ghost. By the way, it's the only time ghost is used in the New Testament. If you refer to the Holy Spirit as the Holy Ghost, the New Testament never calls him the Holy Ghost. He's always the Holy Spirit. But they looked and they said, they didn't say it's Jesus. They said it's a ghost. Why? I looked at that this week and I got to thinking about that. And the only reason I can come up with, they didn't recognize Jesus. They'd just been with him. He still looked like Jesus. Why did they think it was a ghost? Because they didn't expect to see him in the storm.
And when I thought about that, it convicted my heart. Because I have to confess, I'm the same way. When I come to church, I expect to see Jesus. I sing with you. And folks, most of the time I come in here and I sing in all of the services because I just love, I expect God to show up. I've sensed His presence today. And when I have my devotions in my quiet time, I expect Him to show up. But quite frankly, when the storm comes, I get preoccupied. And He's there, but I'm just like the disciples. It's a ghost, you know, because I don't expect Him to show up in that. But the reality is, when you read the Bible, God most often gets our attention in the storm. When our faith needs to be strengthened, when we lose our stability and we lose our security and we lose our visibility, our sight, God is right there, but we're so busy, consumed with the storm. I confess, I've got spiritual ADD sometimes. And man, when I get sidetracked by the storm, I don't even think about the presence of God, but it is in the storm where He works His best miracle. So the question is, when I am living on the tension between fear and faith, between courage and commitment, what do I do? I want to look at Peter and show you what I see in his life that I need to put into my life, and I believe you need to put into yours, because as somebody said, you are either in a storm right now, or you just got out of a storm, or God bless your heart, you're headed for one. And we need to know what to do in the storm. So what did Peter do? Well, the first thing, he moved forward in faith. Now, I confess, I preached on this passage. I've been preaching for nearly 50 years, and I preached on this passage more than one time. And I've been critical sometimes of Peter, because I focus when I preach on this passage a lot of times on he got his eyes off of Jesus and his eyes onto the problem, and he began to sink. And there's a good sermon there. But what I've missed so much is the fact that I need to compliment Peter, because he's the only one that got out of the boat. You know, I put myself, if I really honestly put myself with the disciples in this place, and they're in the boat, and yes, the boat is being battered by the water, it's being beaten by the waves, but they still are in the boat. I have to confess, I probably would not have gotten out. I mean, it's bad enough that the boat's being beaten and battered, but to get out on the water? No. Folks, I've been in the water. I've never walked on it. So I would rather have whatever security and stability there was in the boat. And I would have been like the other 11. Peter, bless his heart, he looks out and he sees Jesus. He says, Jesus, if it's really you, let me come to you. Let me come out there and walk on the water. And Peter says, come on, Rocky. Come on out. And Peter climbs over the side of that boat and he begins to walk to Jesus. Now, if you don't write anything else down, you might want to write this down. Peter said, Jesus, let me come out there. Jesus said, come on. And Peter moved. You obey your way out of the storm. You obey your way out of the storm. What do we try to do when we get in a storm? I try to think my way out of it. Don't you? I try to think my way out of the storm. Well, what do I need to do? Where do I need to go? How do I need to behave? What can I make different? And I spend all of my time thinking my way out of this storm instead of getting into the Word of God and saying, God, what do you want me to do? Now, I confess, I love B-class sci-fi movies. They let my mind wander and it's senseless. And I it's supposed to be serious, but I laugh about as much as I get scared in them, you know, and all. And here's what I know. When I see these people in a risky situation, they're being stalked by an axe murderer or something, and they're in a safe place, what do? They think well, I better go check this out. And I'm sitting there saying, no, no. And they're opening the door, and I'm thinking, no, stay where you are. And they're going, well, I think I'll be okay. No, you're going to die. But I do the same thing in my storms. I try to think my way. You will never think your way out of a storm. You see, one of the things I know about this situation, Jesus knew they were going to be in a storm. Jesus knows everything, and he's the one that sent them down there to get in that boat and cross the water. And he did it knowing they were going to be in a storm. He's not surprised you're in a storm, and you can't think your way out of it. You have to obey your way. Get into the Word of God and let God guide you. Peter was filled with fear, but he moved forward in faith. The second thing he does is he focuses on Christ's love. He steps forward in faith. He's afraid, but he focuses on the love of Jesus. See, I think Peter is looking at Jesus and he's thinking, man, we've been with this guy three years. He's had our back the entire way. He's watched out for us. He's been there for us. He's taken care for us. And he's out there and he's walking on that water. And he seems pretty safe and secure out there. This boat is getting beaten. I think I won't go out and be with him. And he's focusing on the love of Christ. I think Peter knew that Jesus loved him too much that he could go out there and Jesus wasn't going to let him sink. But that's not what I do in a storm. In a storm, what do I focus on? I focus on the storm so much. I focus on what's wrong instead of focusing on the love that my Savior has for me. And if you're sinking in a storm today, maybe depression, maybe financial, it may be in debt, it may be fear, I just want you to remember and focus on the love of Jesus, that he loves you too much to let you drown. It's been kind of a unique this is the third service I've preached. Last night it happened. It happened in the earlier service. And I was watching to see, is it going to happen in this service? And sure enough, it did. I have looked out, and I've intentionally looked at the crowd by sitting up here during the offering. I usually can't see you. Right now I can't see most of your faces because those lights are so bright. But I sat there, and the lights were focused on these people, and I could see you. And I looked at some of you, and I know your storm. I looked out there, and I see some of you And you walked through a perfect storm. I mean, it seems like all hell broke loose for you. And I watched you and I've seen you go through that. And the joy in my heart is that you're here today. Why? Because you focused on Jesus. If you had still, I can visually in my mind conjure up some images of people who went through storms and they're not here today. And I'll tell you why they're not here today. They focused on the storm and they got discouraged and they got mad at God and they got bitter and they got resentful. And instead of focusing on his love, they focused on the storm. And man, they're drifting. And just two or three in each service today, I've looked and I know your struggle. And some of you, I sat with you. And my heart just overflows to know that you were able to focus on the love of Christ and you're still here because you know he loves you too much to let you drown. Now, Peter got scared. Man, you're sinking in the water like that. Remember what Jesus called him? You're a rock. Well, he's sinking like a rock now. But he knew that Jesus loved him too much to let him sink. Romans 8:38. We like Romans 8:28, but I love Romans 8:38. It says, I am convinced, Paul is talking, I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, angels or demons, neither fears for today or worries about tomorrow, not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. That's powerful, folks. You ought to underline those words, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Focus on his love. And thank you for those of you who've given me a testimony that he sees you through. And then number three, I look at Peter. He calls out to Jesus. Man, this is one of the shortest, most effective 9-11 prayers in the Bible. If Peter had prayed like some people pray, He'd have looked at Jesus and said, "Oh, Lord, thank you for gathering the brethren in the boat today. But as you have noticed, a storm has come upon us, and I desperately need some relief at this point in time, lest I sink like a rock into the miry mud at the bottom of the lake of Galilee." Oh, he'd have been dead. What does Peter pray? Three words: "Lord, save me." And that's probably one of the most powerful prayers in the New Testament. "Lord, save me." And Jesus answers. I don't think Peter ever really even reached out for Jesus. I think, in my mind, the way I see this, Jesus does all the reaching. And he pulls Peter up and he sets him back in the boat. Now, here's what I see. Peter's faith was imperfect. People, my faith is too often way imperfect. But the Bible doesn't say perfect faith casts out fear. The Bible says perfect love casts out fear. And perfect love, my love's not perfect either. Who has perfect love? He does. And where do I get my love from? Him. Perfect love. It doesn't say perfect commitment. Man, I don't have perfect commitment. It doesn't say perfect faith. It says perfect love casts out fear. I want you to do something with me today. Just bow your head right now. Just bow your head. Maybe you're feeling fearful about something that's going on in your life. Would you just... Or maybe you know somebody who is fearful about what's happened. Just bow your head and focus for a minute on how much God loves you. Knowing it's not that you need to love God more. It is that you need to understand how much he loves you. And he loves you too much to let you sink. Now, with your head bowed right now and you're faced with a storm, you need that love, and that love comes from God. You're like me. You don't have perfect faith. It's not about perfect faith. It's not about perfect courage. It's about his perfect love. Father, right now, I pray for my brothers and sisters who are struggling with some anxiety and fear. And I pray that you would surround them with your unfailing love and give them peace. And like Peter, let us all look to you in the midst of our struggle, in the midst of our storm, and cover us with strength to persevere in times of storms. Give us the faith to stand strong on your word. And Father, we'll thank you for always being near us. Help us to trust in you, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And then there's one more thing here. Worship. Worship. The Bible says that Jesus reached out and saved Peter, and they got back into the boat. I think Jesus just put Peter in the boat. Jesus was a carpenter. He's pretty strong, 33-year-old, and he just put Peter back in that boat, and then he got in the boat. And what did he do? He solves the problem of the storm. The Bible says then that Jesus, if you could read this in the Greek language, it really is not that he spoke. It's that he got in the boat and the wind is howling and the waves are breaking. And Jesus just goes, "Shh," and it stopped. And the storm is over. And what do? They worshiped. They looked at him and said, "You really are the Son of God." What were they doing when they did that? "You really are the Son of God." You know what they were doing? They were surrendering themselves to him. They were saying, "Lord, we were afraid. We didn't expect you in this storm. We thought it was a ghost. We didn't expect you here. Our faith is not perfect. But when we look at your love, our fear is gone. And we want to just surrender ourselves to you. And we just want to worship you. And let you know that we're going to trust you to see us through. I want us to do something a little bit different this morning. I want us to worship. I want you to think about what's making you afraid, and I want you to give it over to the Lord as we sing this song together. This song is God of Angel Armies. The God of Angel Armies. You hear me when I call. You are my morning song. Will you sing that in faith in the midst of your storm and just worship? I'm going to have some of our staff that are here. If you need somebody to pray with you, or if you need to talk with somebody about what it is to be a Christian or be a part of the church, at any time in this song, you just come and talk with us. So let me invite you. Let's all stand right now.